In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What does it mean to be a sheep? If you ask most people this question, they'd probably say that it's quite an insult. A sheep is a person who cannot think for himself, a follower who just goes along with the crowd. A sheep is sheepish. He's shy, he's timid, can't speak up for himself or others. He's closed-minded. A sheep is a person who can be easily manipulated into doing things that most people won't do. In short, to be called a sheep for most people is by no means a compliment. A sheep is a follower and not a leader and cannot be trusted to accomplish anything on his own. From a secular standpoint, no one wants to be thought of as a sheep. The secularist wants freedom, independence, recognition that he or she can accomplish anything with enough skill and personal drive. And therefore, we Christians who are proud of being sheep in name and in fact are seen at best as rather odd, at worst as ignorant or even a danger to society. And the secular view of sheep is, of course, not entirely wrong. Throughout the Bible, few images of God and his people are more prevalent than that of the shepherd and the sheep. God calls us his sheep and calls himself our shepherd. Why does he do that? Because, of course, left to our own devices, we are totally helpless. We have a herd mentality, and we need a leader of some kind. Of course, we have a choice of a leader. We can either choose our Lord, who leads us into green pastures, in whose house we are called to live forever, or we can choose to be our own leader, or at least try. This was the position of the people of Israel in the time of Jeremiah the prophet. The kingdom had been divided for years, and many of the people were abandoning the worship of the true God, often after the example of their own kings. Israel had begged God for a king so that they could be like the rest of the nations, and God had given them what they asked for. Those kings were anointed to shepherd the people, to keep the people united as the beacon of light to the nations that they were meant to be. This was the divine vocation of Israel, to stand tall as God's own people, demonstrating to the nations the holiness of the one true God. These same kings, though, abandoned that calling and left the people of God to wander in the wilderness of disbelief and despair. And so God, through Jeremiah, proclaims to them, "I myself will gather the remnant of my flock from all the lands to which I have driven them and bring them back to their meadow. There they shall increase and multiply." God himself will be their shepherd, leading the sheep of Israel back to their vocation. But then just a few sentences later, God seems to contradict himself. He says that he will raise up a righteous shoot to David. As king, he shall reign and govern wisely. He shall do what is just and right in the land. Of course, David was the king of Israel par excellence. He was seen as the perfect image of the righteous king. He was the anointed one, and yet he was simply a man. And still, God says that the new ruler of his people will be a descendant of David. And so which is it? Is this definitive shepherd of the flock to be God himself, or a man of God's choosing, a son of David? The answer, as in so many things, of course, is both. Jesus, of course, is a man born of the Virgin, raised in the humble home in Nazareth. He is a descendant of David. St. Matthew makes this clear through his meticulous genealogy, listing three sets of 14 generations, 14 being the numerical value of the Hebrew name David. But it's clear by the life of Jesus, by his words and deeds, that he is also God. Our gospel today opens with the apostles gathering around him, a beautiful image of the prophecy in our first reading, "I myself will gather the remnant of my flock." There's a magnetism about our Lord, a divine attraction that's irresistible for those genuinely seeking the truth. We need not mention the numerous miracles that he performed, healing the blind and paralyzed, raising the dead, most importantly, forgiving sins. We see in the story of the paralytic when Jesus forgives the sins of the man after he has physically healed him, the people protest, "Who but God alone can forgive sins?" And of course, that's the point. The answer is no one, because Jesus is God made man, our divine shepherd, come to gather us who have been scattered. St. Paul recognizes the central truth of the gospel when he declares, "You who were once far off have become near through the blood of Christ." He's speaking to all mankind, Jew and Gentile, who have all been scattered and have forgotten where we came from and what we were made for. We've been brought back together as one flock through the blood of Christ, the Son of David, who is also God. Each of us, I'm sure, to some extent or another, feels scattered sometimes. We all feel to some degree unsure, wandering, not certain where we're going. And we all struggle, of course, with sin. St. Paul speaks plainly about the war constantly going on inside of him. He says, "I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin which dwells in my members. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." As I stated before, we like to think that we can go it alone, that we can lead ourselves. But the fact is, if we do not have God for our shepherd, we will simply choose another. The shepherds offered by the world are, of course, too many to count. But ultimately, in choosing any of them as our shepherd, we're really just choosing ourselves. No matter how much we may protest that we do not need anyone, the fact is that deep down, we all need someone to lead us. We need direction, we need purpose in life, we need a sense of hope. We're all like sheep without a shepherd. But the shepherds of the world, the shepherds that the world offers us, will, at some point or another, all let us down. At the end of the day, they are all as scattered as we are. But the good shepherd has come. He's come to gather his scattered flock. He's come not to force himself on us, but to call us by name to that life that we were made for. We are his sheep, and for us that is no insult. It's something to take the greatest pride in. There's no shame in following the lead of the Good Shepherd. Our Creator and Redeemer knows infinitely better how to make us happy than we could ever imagine ourselves. Let us place our trust in that Good Shepherd, the Shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, and offers us that same life here at this altar. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.